The robber barons, the corsair meeting. Now, the meeting of J.P. Morgan, Vanderbilt, and other captains of industry on Morgan's yacht, the Corsair, was a memorable peace conference, as it was a memorable conflict. No longer were individuals engaged in the battle for accumulation, but groups of monopolistic interests were now going after each other. An oligarchy of oil, steel, and railroad overlords in conflict with the power of another railroad monopoly. Here were profound symptoms of a new phase of the industrial or capitalist revolution. The great monopoly or trust can make unlimited profits when confronted with unorganized and divided sections of consumers. But confronting other organized and powerful groups of trusts, gains are checked. And in the ensuing struggle for advantage, the fate of the whole economy, and sometimes society, seems to be at stake. Now, the opponents in this situation on the Corsair were inconceivably bitter. Vanderbilt's not exactly the nicest guy on the face of the earth, and he remembers being blackmailed in the famous Nickel Plate Road incident. So he was dead set against doing what Morgan wanted, that was buying the West Shore Railroad. On the other hand, the Pennsylvania Railroad men simply refused to buy the other part, the South Pennsylvania Construction Company. One of the Penn officers said, quote, "I'm not anxious to buy a hole in the ground," end of quote. Morgan, however, insisted that the Pennsylvania Railroad take over Vanderbilt's private pirate project in return for 3% debenture bonds to be assumed by them. The Corsair, meanwhile, steamed slowly to and fro in the outer New York Harbor and then along the Hudson River, carrying its strange crew of latter-day pirates. Roberts and Chauncey, who were deputies of the New York Central for Vanderbilt, did most of the talking. Morgan, all 6 feet two of him and 200 pounds, simply sat sprawled in a chair, smoking his famous black cigar, periodically intervening in the discussion. Meanwhile, the Corsair continued sailing until nightfall. It appears that Morgan was planning to hold his guests until they came to terms with each other. Finally, Morgan brought about a general understanding with a view to securing remunerative rates of traffic and harmony along the various railroad lines. Because remember, Morgan believed that you needed to have everything controlled, not fighting all the time. But there was a provision in the Pennsylvania State Constitution that forbade any railroad of the state of Pennsylvania from purchasing a competing line. Morgan, at a later date, that is on the witness stand, explained candidly how he evaded this law. Quote, "Roberts said it was necessary for someone to be the purchaser of the South Pennsylvania Railroad other than the Pennsylvania Railroad. As a firm, Drexel Morgan and Company, we couldn't buy it. But as an individual feeling the importance of what was at stake, I was prepared to do what I could and to give the use of my name and signature to act as the purchaser of one of the companies for the other," end of quote. Now later, 10 years later as a matter of fact, it came out that Morgan's attorney, Albert Gray, during this moment in the conversation, spoke to Morgan and said, quote, "I don't think you can legally do that," end of quote. Stormily, Morgan replied, quote, "Well, I don't know as I want a lawyer to tell me what I cannot do. I hire him to tell me how to do what I want to do," end of quote. In the end, J.P. Morgan was entrusted with the business of reorganization, so the two pirate properties were exchanged. The South Pennsylvania Railroad had its capital drawn down to $3.5 million in 3% bonds, which were guaranteed by the Pennsylvania Railroad, which basically more or less covered the loss of the thing. And at the same time, the West Shore had its bonded indebtedness cut in half. Morgan generally put through his capitalization reorganization in a high-handed fashion and with unusual success, since the securities, once the water had been squeezed out of them, in other words, the inflated price had been reduced to what they were actually worth, ended up gaining better standing in the stock market. For this work, the Doctor of Wall Street exacted a fee of $1 to $3 million as a commission that would go to the house of Morgan for basically knowing how to do it and doing it. Now, part of the commission could be paid by bonds or in stock, and that generally meant that any time Morgan did one of these reorganizations, he ended up getting enough pieces that he gets put on the board of directors, and that's what happened here. He gains enough representation to become part of the board of directors of this new company, which he usually demanded in order to oversee the management. Out of the battle between the railroad barons, Morgan was the only real winner. J.P. Morgan had an extraordinary way of bludgeoning rivals into accepting his terms under threat of bringing down the whole structure upon their heads. Now, it wasn't all happiness, however. One of the minor interests, that is the Philadelphia and Reading Railroad, complained that Vanderbilt had told them to expand and that they had a gentleman's agreement with Vanderbilt. And as a result, they had been let down and they had huge costs and they were threatening all sorts of things. Unfortunately, they were in bankruptcy. So Morgan simply set upon them and drastically reorganized them, basically taking command of this little weak coal railroad. This was the final end that had to be tied up. This complete collusion of the trust barons could not have been reached without Morgan's intervention. Here you see the power and the value of Morgan, this man of heroic remedies, this domineering man of destiny, became the decisive voice in what was coming of this new economic order of the trusts. Now, the sources for this are The Robber Barons by Matthew Josephson, America in the Gilded Age by Cashman, and The Age of Moguls, The Story of Robber Barons and Tycoons by Holbrook. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, SummaHistorica.com or HistoryAccordingToBob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us, buy a CD, give us a donation, become a monthly subscriber. Thank you very much.